down to business. Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.
Audrey Hepburn once said that to plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow. What a lovely saying. So, with the evolution of garden centres into lifestyle destinations and a general rise in public interest in all that is sustainable, are gardeners and horticulturists set to become the unexpected business moguls of the future? On this week's Industry Review, we're talking garden centres and we're joined accordingly by three green-fingered gurus. They are the Executive Chair at Arboretum, Rachel Doyle, owner of the Rathout Garden Centre, John Lord, and the co-owner of Windy Ridge Nurseries and Garden Centre, Paul Harvey. You're all very welcome to the programme and thanks for coming in. I was just saying and thinking that it's a lovely day for gardening, Rachel, and you've been in this business a respectable number of years, let's call it that.
Actually 40 years this year.
There you go, 40. Better you say it than me.
Celebrating 40 years this year.
Now, Rachel, you're down there in Loughlin Bridge. You were originally, I believe, in Carlow. The business has evolved. It's gone from strength to strength. Just tell us about the early days there. You mentioned that being a woman in the industry in the early days was quite challenging and where people used to come in and say, was himself around? Yeah. I think that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, that would have been very common back 40 years ago. People did not expect to see a young woman at the time actually known anything about gardening, and that would have been the constant thing, looking for the boss and so on. So it evolved. The garden centre evolved, I suppose. When I started up first, my up and over garage door was my shop window, my shop, my potting shed and my shop. So how it has evolved over the 40 years is incredible, and it now has really become a lifestyle centre. And I think that's what probably has made us nearly, we have an online shop, but we always feel that gardening is the experience. People come for the experience to come. Plants are touchy feely things.
Yeah, of course they
and
are.
You want to smell them and touch them and look at the colour and the leaf of the leaf shape, and so it's very different.
Okay.
Over the time.
All right, stay with us because we've lots to talk about. I want to bring in our second guest, John Lord, of the Rathout Garden Centre. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Now, you're, I suppose, technically qualified. You're a man who has a degree in botany. You've also done a diploma in tree surgery and stuff like that. So you're a purist, let's call it. Tell us about your business out in Rathout, John.
Okay, first about me. I'm plant mad. I've been plant mad since I was about 4 years old. I know I'm 62. And that plant bug that got into my head is still hopping around in my head and it's never left. I'm fascinated with anything that grows. I just have this natural fascination. Now, I'm very lucky that I have a garden centre, which is my business, but also my hobby. And the old saying goes, if your work is your hobby, you never work a day in your life.
Right.
And that's me.
And John, has that meant that you've sort of kept a purity around your garden centre, that you haven't really got into coffee shops online?
I did my best. I fought everything. I fought having a Christmas shop. We have a Christmas shop. I fought putting tarmac down the drive. We put tarmac on the drive. He's telling me not to fact my hands off the table. I fought having shrubs. I didn't want shrubs. I only want herbaceous plants. We ended up with shrubs. I didn't want hanging baskets. We ended up with hanging baskets. I'm sort of
a green-fingered dinosaur.
I'm a businessman that was dragged into business reluctantly, and I'm sort of glad I was.
Well, you sound like an interesting character. You also do these John's Walk and Talks. Yeah. Tell me about those.
Well, I have a 2-acre show garden, which is basically my hobby. And it's actually quite good. We get tour buses over from Germany to look at it. I'm just, every day I think about it. What am I going to do next? The thing about gardening is, it's like life, or it's like a soap opera. It just goes on to the next thing. And when you do one thing, that means something else needs to be done. And when you do that, you have to go back to the first thing and it never ends. And it's brilliant.
Good man. Okay, well, you're a breath of fresh air. Let's bring in our third guest now. He's Paul Harvey. He's the co-owner of Windy Ridge Nurseries and Garden Centre. Paul, you're very welcome to the programme. I suppose you better tell us that you're an accountant first that fell into the business. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I'd always a passion for business. And we had a family business that my grand-aunt set up in 1962, and she had no children, so it was left to the family. And then my brother was getting involved, and I said I'd give him a hand for 6 months in the summer, and 6 years later I'm still here.
So. That's great. So this was a business that was run by your grand-aunt since 1962, is that right?
Yeah, 1962, yeah.
And so maybe it needed a bit of TLC when yourself and your brother arrived, is that right?
Yeah, it was sort of in between times. All the land in Dunleary had been sold for property development. There was a lot of garden centres gone. The plan had been to sell it for property development, but the crash happened. And I'm glad we held on to it because that area badly needed a garden centre.
I know exactly where you are, and I've been in your store a number of times, and I absolutely agree with you that, you know, if everything is a property play, we'll end up with nothing in this, and that's almost what happened to us.
Yeah, and I think also they sort of need to relook at it, because we won't have any garden centres left in the city if they just continue to say that the same rates apply to you, the same everything applies to you, because a garden centre needs about 2 to 3 acres, like, and you can't justify putting a garden centre because of our seasonal nature of our business on that.
Okay, folks, we are talking garden centres, and I've got three gurus here in the studio. Get your texts in, all those green finger texts. John there is itching to talk to you about plants, whatever your queries are, and we'll try and answer them. 53106, get them into us. Rachel, I want to go back to you about the changing nature of the business. You mentioned there earlier about it, it's become lifestyle, and John there kind of resisting the pressures, but he has sort of succumbed to them in the interest of survival. You've had a thriving business, but you've continued to reinvest in the business. You now have another garden centre down in Kilquaid.
Yes,
I was going to say Rathdrum, but Kilquaid, I suppose.
Yeah,
and has that been just part of the evolution of the business?
It has, and just, I suppose, looking back on it, I suppose, like plant, like John, I'm a plant fanatic. I absolutely love what I do, and I think I'm the luckiest woman in the world. I work with the three men in my life, my husband and my two sons, and our two sons now have really taken the lead, and they're bringing to another level, hence we bought Kilquaid, and I suppose in business, I really believe there is no standing still. You're either going backwards or forwards.
Yeah, that's true.
And you just have to keep reinventing. And like John, we resisted a whole lot, the coffee shop, and now our restaurant in Carlow sees 320 people inside. So it's a third of our business.
Yeah.
And it's a phenomenally successful business. So we have had to do that, and I never visualised myself selling irons and frying pans, but we do, and we sell ladies fashion, which we do, and it does extremely well. So we've had to reinvent ourselves, because we either had to do that or we had to be very seasonal and let staff go, and we never during the winter months.
And the evolution into pots and pans and barbecues and all, does that dilute in any way the purity of the green fingers and the shrub and the Pronseti or whatever it is?
Not at all, because we have, I can't remember, I think it's about 11 horticulturalists working in Carlow and about 5 in Kilquaid. So we are plants first, and you know Arboretum in both centres, but Arboretum in Carlow, you walk into plants, you exit through plants.
Yeah.
That's by design, because when we were doing the design, I said people have to know they're in a garden centre first. All the other things are just by the ways.
Okay.
They're what pays the wages.
There's loads of texts coming in. Keep them coming in. The Arboretum is a wonderful place to visit. Rachel and her team are an absolute joy to deal with. Her goodness shines through. That's from Shem and Therese. Bobby, I'd love to do a course in garden design. I'm living in my house for 15 years and all I have is a few daffodils, tulips and a few weeds. Any ideas, please? John, would you help out there?
First thing you do about your garden is you go and look at other people's gardens.
Right.
And then if you see something you like, you ask yourself, why do I like it? And you keep thinking and thinking about it, and eventually you try it out, or some version of what you've seen. If you don't like it, you reinvent. The thing about gardening, and people make the mistake when they plant their gardens, it's never permanent. I call it wheelbarrow gardening. You plant stuff in, I'm not happy. Now, it's not as easy as moving furniture around your room, But you lift stuff up, move it around, cut stuff back, take stuff out, throw it over the wall, give it away to the neighbour, whatever. And eventually you will get something that you like.
Yeah, well, and you're right, it's an evolution.
It's an evolution.
And I think if you try and create the perfect garden overnight, you'll probably fail.
And the other thing about it is, sorry for interrupting,
no,
I'm a terrible
okay.
man for interrupting.
No,
the
right.
other thing about it is the actual doing of the project itself is a joy.
Yeah.
Not just a finished product.
Yeah.
No, that's well said to you, because I think, hi Bobby, I like collecting my own seeds from my own flowers for sowing next year. My question is, how do I collect them from, is it Lobelia? L-O-B-E-L-I-A? That's from Marie.
Very easy to collect seeds. Generally what you would do is get an envelope, nice dry envelope, and cut your lobelias when they're still in flower and the flowers are starting to fade, hang them up for a bit till they dry a bit, put them into the envelope, and the envelope takes away the water, and generally the seeds, the little seeds, will fall to the bottom of the envelope. And lobelia seeds are tiny, tiny seeds.
Okay, this is really technical
like
stuff, but I'm enjoying it. Paul, let me go back to you and ask you about the distribution of business throughout the year. You say that 60% of your sales are done in April, May and June. Does that make it a difficult business to manage?
It does, because we are so plant-focused. Unfortunately, we would love to, like, we are a destination that people want to come and visit, but unfortunately we don't have the space for a big coffee shop or something.
And that means that, in other words, that you'd have to give too many spaces to car parking in order to entertain a cafe business.
Yeah, well, if someone came in for a coffee and they wanted to stay 2 hours, but they would only spend €3 or something, well, if someone wanted to come in...
I have that problem all the time, but you learn how to deal with it over the years.
I know, you've come in quite a bit, so I can't complain. But it's just the way it is, but also it just keeps us focused. It is difficult, yeah. You have to get seasonal people in, and then unfortunately some people you have to let go.
Yeah.
But that's the nature. We're trying to evolve a bit more, and we're trying to go a little bit more into Christmas and to create sort of a winter wonderland, a Hobbit style stuff in our own theme. But you have to do it differently. You always have to think differently. And that's what we've always done. Like, every time I think you arrive down, there's something completely different. We've ripped up some area and we've redefined it. And we try to make it as not labour intensive as possible.
Yeah, so it's a creative space in the sense that you're talking about creativity. You're talking about how things look, how things feel, and maybe somebody looking at a plant and saying, how would that look in my garden, even though it's in the garden centre? Would that be right, Rachel?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why in both of our centres, in Lochinbridge and Carlow, we have gardens. In Kilquade, there's 2 acres of display gardens. So, like Paul, we do have the problem that people come, but it's a nice problem to have, that they really want to spend hours and hours in the place. I've often seen people in Carlow there for breakfast and they're still there for afternoon tea. But that's what we have to create, and that's what brings people to our centres. You know, that people want to come for the experience, and everything is about experience now, and we all want to have a wonderful experience, and that is from having really good team work that will give the customer that absolutely welcome when they arrive.
Okay, I've loads of texts coming in. Please help me with them. Can you ask your garden gurus what to do about ants getting into your house? I've tried ant traps, powder, etc. 2.5 months later, they're back again. Is there a permanent solution to get rid of ants?
No, sorry. You go, Rachel.
No, I use Nippon, and I think it's great. And I have a very, very big garden, and I live in a very old house where the ants seemingly live all year round. So I use Nippon, and I put it Nippon gel, that's the most effective one I have found. I put it on a piece of glass. It contains borax. They walk on it and they bring in and kill the nest.
There you go.
And I find it works.
I love to tinker around the garden. Have a small paved front and back, so all in tubs, etc. But I'd love to do a course, not employed at present and a bit strapped that way. That's from Trish in Cork. Again, somebody asking about a course. Another one, John, you might deal with is, bought a purple hydrangea 2 years ago in Kilquade and told it would stay purple. I asked because I know they mostly revert back to pink. It's now nearly all pink. How do I sort this out?
Purple goes pink on limey soil, and pink goes purple on acid soil. Now, funnily enough, people, if you have straight hair, you want curly hair. If you've got curly hair, you want straight hair. Now, in Donegal, all the hydrangeas are blue, and I've had Donegal people saying, I'd love to have a pink hydrangea. And all in the Dublin area, they're all pink. And
so
people
it relates to the soil.
It's the soil.
Yeah, but you can get a colourant that will change the colour. You can get a powder that you put on them.
Hi, Bobby. I'd like an indoor tree. Can your gardening guest suggest one, please? My ceiling is 10 feet, and I absolutely love the show. That's from Lisa. Indoor tree?
Maybe an umbrella.
Paul?
Sorry?
Well, there's plenty. We don't do a huge amount of indoor stuff, but like, there's plenty of stuff you can get. Like, any of the ferns are quite nice. Or
any Schikaflora.
Yeah?
Schikaflora, the umbrella tree, which is very nice.
And is that high maintenance, Rachel, in terms of when you have it indoors?
Not at all. Put it in a place when it's comfortable in it, it'll just grow. And it's a lovely leaf on it.
There's an interesting text here that says, what's next for garden centres after coffee shops and restaurants? Why not functions such as weddings and parties? Also, Rachel and the team at Arboretum are super retailers. Is that something that you'd be you'd be excited by, or maybe a little bit disappointed by, Rachel, that where it actually goes next?
I think, yes, we've had weddings in the Arboretum. Yeah. I think, why not? We have a conference room where people have meetings every week. There's something going on there, and they come and they can walk to the garden at lunchtime and have lunch, and so it's given that experience. So why not have?
So it's a space to be enjoyed at a number of levels.
And I really do think that the next thing is health and wellness.
Right.
In garden centres. I really do think that that's the next.
And how will that manifest itself?
I think in places that you go for to have a treatment. You can get your hair blow dried, or you can have a massage, or get your nails painted, whatever.
John, you're sort of quivering in your boots at this in terms of the purity of the plants and
throw
botany.
Everything but the kitchen sink into it, you know. I think... I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, never mind in 5 years' time. I don't know what I'm going to do in 5 minutes. I hope I don't get a ticket in the car. You know, that's in my mind. I think, as Rachel said earlier, is just do the best you can and keep reinvesting. That's all you can do in the garden centre business and any business. And just hope that the cards fall the right way, or the chips fall the right way.
Just one of the things, and again, listening to Paul earlier about being in an urban location, both of your businesses have been fortunate in that you've benefited from the M9 in your case, Rachel, in terms of the business coming to you. Is it the kind of business that you kind of need to drive to? Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Because you can't buy 10 apple trees and put them on the bus, bring them home on the bus. The busman wouldn't let you on.
Okay, so really then, and would you suggest then, Paul, that your own location, again, that's one of your challenges, that every one of your customers is drawing. It's an urban location, high land values, and...
Yeah, but I wouldn't change it for the world, because in terms of the number of houses that we have around us, and we can be a purist plant-based because... the others have to have more in terms of the destination and stuff.
Yeah, but I think you're right.
Yeah, and we can really specialise in plants, and we can really concentrate on doing that as best as we can, and like, we want to do it to the highest standard we possibly can.
And online then, is that a kind of a no-go area from your perspective?
It's not a no-go area. I think people are going to do research, they're going to look for the plant online, but like fruit and veg, they want to come in and they touch it, they want to feel it, they want to see it. Like, no two plants are the same, which is brilliant. Which is incredibly good for our industry, in that we're not a Sony TV, we're not a Philips TV. You can't go online and compare directly. The plants that we will stock, we will hold them to a better level, similar to Rachel and John. We will hold them to that better level, so people will know that if they go to Windy Ridge, or they go to the Arboretum, or if they go down to John, that they'll get a really good quality plant. And it's like fruit and veg, you don't want to just go anywhere for it.
Yeah.
And you want to feel and touch it.
And the nature of the product, I suppose the pure product of the plant, the shrub, the small tree, is it difficult if you're selling food, you have a shelf life. Like, in terms of the care that you've got to, and the length of time you have to actually sell the product.
Yeah, we have to look after them.
Yeah.
And we really have to look after them. But it's like what Paul said. Do you know, like, we got a delivery of rare and unusual trees last week, and apple, cordon apple trees, espalier type apple trees, step over apple trees, you know, that you can grow and step over them and they produce loads of fruit. So that sort of thing is what you cannot, you can, as Paul said, you cannot buy it online. You yeah. really have to come and experience it and see it. But they're high maintenance. They're like, you, people have to care for them the very same as you have to care for your fruit and veg in the supermarket.
We'll just do a couple more texts. I've been to all your centres. My philosophy is, if it grows in my garden without intervention, bar trimming, it's welcome. My garden is restful and full of structural plants. Long may it last. That's from Deirdre. Why don't garden centres run classes like cookery schools? It would be a good earner. I think you do, if I'd be right.
We do, yeah.
I see Weber talks and all that kind of barbecue stuff and all that. For an indoor tree to grow, an avocado from seed makes a great houseplant tree, and that you can give to friends. Would that be right?
Yeah.
And avocados are kind of trendy now, John,
yeah,
aren't
you
they?
You wouldn't get one the fruit. Yeah. You know, you'll just get a few leaves, and you'll be able to say, "Oh, look, I grew it to your friends. I grew this from an avocado seed."
Well, listen, it's a wonderful business, and you're, all three of you are great ambassadors for the sector. Keep doing what you're doing, as the fella said. Because
and by the way, this place is in a place called Diggs Lane, which would be a good name for a garden shop. A good.
There you go. They've got a sense of humour as well as everything else. Our green fingers gurus this morning. My big thanks to Rachel Doyle from the Arboretum, John Lord from the Rathaut Garden Centre, and Paul Harvey from Windy Ridge. Thank you all very much for joining us.
Down to business. Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.